Can't tell you what a blessing it is to see you all here tonight. What a wonderful song service we have enjoyed. I believe that God has been honored in it. That is a part of our worship service. We understand that to be so very important to us in our worship service. I can say that if we left now, we've already had a great worship service.
That's right.
But when I saw you come into this building, I thought to myself, these are the people that I've come to know over the last 20, 30 years of my life that I love more than anybody in the whole world as I saw y'all come in here, and I appreciate it so much. I am thankful for the ministry that's here, of course, for everybody, but the ministers that are here encouraged me in this meeting. I wanted to have it. I think it's so very important for us concerning our fellowship as God's people. We need to get to know one another in our sister churches, be friends. We have a common cause, a common message, and I am just so thankful for their support. And I told somebody tonight, I'm going to preach tonight, Lord willing, if the Lord will bless me to, and I hope you're praying for us, but then I'm going to put it on automatic pilot and I'm going to let these other guys preach. So, and there's nothing that Primitive Baptist men love better preachers than to preach. So I'm thankful for your support, and I'm looking forward to hearing each one of you. Somebody asked me about the support of the meeting financially. We did put some money on the table back there if you want to put something down. If anything's left over, I'll be passing it on to the ministry as they come and speak to us. Another thing I noticed when we came in here tonight was the placard on the door. It said Harmony Baptist Church. Well, I didn't know that was going to be there. I want you to know this is not our meeting, our church's. This is everybody's meeting. I guess because our name, they gave them my name when we rented the building, they put that on there. And I don't guess they have enough letters to spell primitive. I don't know. But that's okay. I do believe that we are Baptist, that we retain the doctrine of the original Baptist church. And if we just left it like it is, it basically is what it is. So thank you so much for coming tonight, for your prayers, your singing, how beautiful that it is. And I pray that God will continue to be with us tonight. I know, he's, as Brother Tim said, thank you for the wonderful song service, and Brother Gary. The Lord's already been with us tonight, and I'm so thankful for that. And it is a blessing that I may not get to see y'all very often during the year, but I know I can see you on second Sunday night. So we'll be able to communicate and share our churches and our, you know, what's going on. And it is a good thing. So thank you for that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to read the first few verses of this chapter. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to put a little asterisk after that, I would say, even ungodly leaders. Mm-hmm. We, as God's people, are to pray for the leaders of our country.
Yeah,
I cannot tell you how excited that I am about the recent presidential election.
Amen.
I have been walking on cloud nine all week long.
Amen,
I am so thankful for the future of our country, for the heritage of my children, my grandchildren, and that you and I, as God's people, have been given a reprieve.
That's right.
That we are going to be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in peace.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about the other preachers here, but in my mind, I'm coming to the place, or I was coming to the place, and we put our messages out on the internet. And I'm thinking, somebody's going to send me a letter come knocking on my door, and they're going to haul me off to prison.
Right.
Or they're going to, usually they start with confiscating your property.
Yeah.
They're going to take my property away. And I told Marilyn, in the near future, I may put everything in your name. That way, if I get in trouble, then at least we still have it. And I've been talking to my church members and telling them about it. And some of them, I don't think, understand what I'm saying. That I'm coming and preaching the truth to you and your children. I'm asking you to protect me and help me in this thing. But I would say most of our church members are on the same page with me, because this is a sermon I preached this morning And so if you were at Harmony this morning, you're getting a second dose of it. But they came around and they thanked me for the message.
Yes.
They said, "We, as Primitive Baptists, have kept our heads in the sand too long.
Amen.
And that we need to be heard as a people.
Yeah.
What we believe. Not only that, but what we believe so far as our government has to say." So I can tell you this, that if it would have gone the other way, there were some huge ramifications to what would have happened in the near future in our country. The Supreme Court appointees are one of the most important things that we see in our country concerning our liberty as Christians. And to know that now at least we have a reprieve, if I said, and those that will be appointed will be people that will allow us to be able to worship God, to come to God's house, to pray, to publish our sermons, to speak about the things that we believe in as Christians. And so as I read this text tonight, I want to tell you that in some ways people have decided that the church has nothing to do with politics. Well, we're not after a political party tonight. That's certainly not something that the church ever wants to get involved in. But when it comes to areas of practical godliness, for the things that we stand for as Christians, for the things that our nation stands for, we have every right and we have a responsibility as God's people to speak up and let our voice be heard in this nation.
Amen.
Now, when we're talking about being salt and light, many times God's people believe if we're going to be salt and light, then all we're going to talk about is salvation by grace. Or maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, which should be at the very top of our list. But my friends, if we're going to be salt and light in a dark world, then we're going to have to voice our opinion as Christians in the country in which we live and let people know what we believe and why we believe it.
Amen.
We're talking about morality and what our children are going to be seeing when they grow up and the things that they are going to be exposed to. And so as the Apostle Paul delivers this message to me, writes this message down, he's basically telling Christians that you had better be involved in your government if you have an opportunity to do so. Can you imagine how blessed the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and preachers in that day would have been if they would have had an opportunity to vote for their leaders? But my friends, they had no opportunity. They had Herod, Pontius Pilate, and all of the Caesars that were ruling over them. And they had no opportunity to voice their opinion as God's child and let them know what they thought. They were very persecuted for the principles in which they stood for. And we find out that that's the way the world goes when God's people are not in power. Now I know that there is no person out there that we can place in the position of president that's going to be perfect. As I tell people when they say, "Well, who am I going to vote for?" Well, I tell them, "Well, Jesus isn't running, okay?" So since Jesus isn't running, you're going to have to pick the best candidate that you can find.
That's right.
And what you had better do is listen to the things they're saying. And if it is somebody that's at least saying things and standing for principles that we know are God's principles, the things that we believe in as Christians, that's the place you need to be voting. Whether they're a Democrat, a Republican, an Independent, or whether they got three eyes, five eyes, whatever they are, those are the people that we need to be supporting as God's people. Now, I'm not telling any of you tonight to go out and wave a flag and stand on the corner and pass out cards, but you do have a vote and you do have a voice in this country. So as we read this, we see that the apostle is encouraging us as God's people to let our voice be known. I think one of the big mistakes that we have made as Christians is placing these politics and election and the selection of our rulers in one basket and our faith over here. And these things, they cannot have anything to do with one another. When actually our faith should have something to do with everything we do in our life. Our love for Jesus Christ should affect the way that we're husbands, the way that we're wives, the way that we work in our workplace, the way we raise our children, and the way that we vote and the things that we stand for as God's people in a country. And if I read this text, I'm thinking, well, this is what Paul is telling us, that whatever country that you live in, then you need to do the best of your ability to not only pray for your leaders, but also put people in office that will stand for the principle that you believe in as one of God's people.
Oh, yes.
When we look at the text tonight, the word supplication means a request for a special blessing. Now, I believe that we should pray for our leaders every day. We should pray for our president. We should have been praying for our president.
Right. That's what I
mean. Whoever it is. Our governor. The people in the Supreme Court.
Right.
But if you're going to make a supplication, a request, a special blessing for the president, what would you be asking? Shouldn't we be asking that God would bless the president to make decisions which would be honorable to him?
Yes.
Which would be in agreement with the Word of God? Which would uphold moral laws in the country in which we live?
Yes.
That the person would be born of God's Spirit? Right. And if not yet today, that we should be asking that God would humble them in His sight and bless them to walk in a way that would be an example to our children. So many times our politicians have not been the examples that they should have been to our children. And we see it so much today that there are those people that our children hold in such high esteem, but yet we see them doing things that are so ungodly, and what an impression that it makes upon our children. I hate to see what some of the rock and roll people do, some of the people that are in the movies, that these singers, and the children watch them, and they think, oh, well, maybe that's all right. No, my friends, it's not all right. The examples they set for our children are things that may shape their lives and mold them in the days to come. We are to also not only supplicate, but to pray, and the word pray means something oratory. Prayer is a form of worship, and when you look up the word prayer, that's really what it means, to worship. And so there's many ways that we worship God. We've worshiped Him tonight in song. We worship God by praying. We worship God when we're preaching the Word of God and we're listening to the Word of God. We're worshiping God when we're meditating upon the things of God, upon His Word. We're worshiping God. We don't have to have a big golden towering cathedral to worship God. We can worship God in the confines of our own home and our privacy with our friends, with our family, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not limited in the way that we can worship. And how blessed God's people have been in days gone by when they were not permitted to come to a public place, but yet in dens and caves they met and worshiped God. And He said that that was very, very blessed worship service we read of in the Scriptures. And we're also to give thanks. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? As God's people in this country in which we live. I'm so thankful. I've been to the Philippines. Brother Don's been over there. And when you go over there, it is a blessing to be around those people. Many people have noted that the poor people in the Philippines are actually happier than many Americans who have much more than they do. But as I'm over there, though, I'm thinking back on those days I grew up in a little town called Donelson. And I'm remembering running up and down the creeks and fishing and swimming and all of the things I enjoyed as a child. And I look at those kids and I think, I am so blessed. Did you ever stop and thank God for being blessed and to live in a country that we live in?
Yeah.
To have the parents that you've had?
Yeah.
To have the friends, the opportunities, everything that you and I have, we have so much to be thankful for as God's people. And I want to see that continue for my children. I want to see a day again in our country when we can go to bed at night and we don't even have to lock our doors. But my friends, I'm going to tell you, as I mentioned in our last church newsletter I sent out, I believe that one of the reasons that we see so much ungodliness in our country today is because people don't go to church anymore. There are more unchurched people today. And how can they know what's right and wrong and what's godly and ungodly? How can they understand the principles that we need to be voting for if they don't even go to church? We need to invite people to God's house and to be careful to bring them so that they can learn. Now, what I'm preaching about, I know that some people, I thought this morning as I was preaching this at Harmony Church, I thought, well, you know, some of the people here today, they may not like the fact that I'm talking about somewhat about politics. But you know what I said? I don't care. I know it's important. This is something that needs to be addressed from the pulpit. And so, I mean, I do care in one sense. You know what I'm saying. But when you feel that God wants you to deliver a message, you have to come to this place in your experience as a pastor that you deliver the message anyway. The messenger has to deliver the message that God places upon his heart. But as I was looking through the Scriptures, I thought, you know, this is a biblical subject. There is so much in the Bible that addresses what we have before you tonight. If you've ever read the Proverbs, and I'm sure you have, you've come across those pithy little verses that talk about how that as a government, as a country, as a society, that we need rulers that will honor God in decisions in which they make. For instance, in Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart," the king, by the way, "is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." Now, that's one of the reasons we ought to be praying, is we recognize that God can change a king's heart. He can change the heart of anybody. Any ruler we've ever had, God had the power to change his heart. And many times I've wondered in our society today if God hasn't done to our country what he did to Israel. They wanted a king, and he gave them Saul. He gave them exactly what they asked for. But I believe that we have had a prayer in our country answered in a very powerful way. Amen. I believe that God heard the prayers of his people in this election. There's no other way that we would have the president that we have today had God not answered some prayers. It was a miracle. Now, I don't know what the president's going to do tomorrow. He may embarrass every one of us. I don't know. But right now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful for what we have, and I pray that God will continue to bless him. When I'm thinking about the king's heart being in the hand of the Lord, I always go back to that story in the book of Esther. You'll remember that Esther was, I believe it was Mordecai's niece. And so we come to this place in this story to where she becomes his queen, you might say. And so as time goes by, we find that Haman is determined to destroy every Jew in the whole country. He was going to extirpate the Jews. Had it not been for God's intervention, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ would have ceased to exist.
That's exactly right.
And so as we read the story, we find that Haman, that Mordecai, exposed a plot that was going on in the country and saved the king's life. And so one night, the king is reading through the chronicles. He couldn't sleep, and so he asked somebody to bring the records of the country to him and just read the chronicles. Now, if you've ever read the chronicles in the Bible, you may have gone to sleep. So he was wanting something to be read to him to help him go to sleep, so he gets the chronicles from the country, and they're reading these chronicles to him, and he's thinking, "Oh, this is so boring, I'm going to go to sleep." But suddenly, he reads something about this man that exposed the plot to save his life. He said, "What's been done for this man?" They said, "Well, nothing's been done for him." So he said, "Well, gosh, I want something to be done for this man." And so they determined to bring him forth the next day and let him ride on the horse and all this. Of course, Haman thought it was going to be for him. And we find out that that Mordecai rode around on his horse, and he's the one that had to lead him around. But the point is this. God turned the king's heart, didn't he?
Amen.
God was in that.
Amen.
And there came the time that this edict that he had had published to have all the Jews put to death came to the light of the king. And Esther went in there, and after the encouragement from her uncle, she said, "You know, if I go in there and the king does not stretch forth the golden scepter, then I'll be put to death." And he said, "That is right. But who knows not that you've come to the kingdom for a time such as this."
Amen.
And I ask every one of you here tonight, who knows that you're not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Amen.
My friends, I'm not giving up on our people. I'm not giving up on the truth. Because I know there's a God in heaven that loves the truth. And if I preach the truth, he must love what I'm saying. And that's where I hang my hat. But when we see this great miracle that occurred, we find as it fell out that Esther went into his chambers and he stretched forth the golden scepter. And anyway, he touched it. And so her life was spared and she was able to expose what Haman was trying to do to their people. And he reversed. Of course, he couldn't change the edict, but he did give the Jews the power to fight for themselves and save their lives. My friends, the king's heart is in the hand of God.
Amen.
And of all the reasons we ought to be praying, that's one of the main reasons that we as God's people should be praying. You read in the book of Proverbs in 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Any people. I love to think, like we read in the book of Romans, is it chapter 7, where we find the prophet praying and he's saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they've digged down their altars, and what was his answer? I've reserved to myself 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. Now, when I think about that, I get excited. Because I know God has some people in this country and all over the world. They may not believe what we believe, but they are God's people. Amen. And I believe that they know what right and wrong is. And I'm trusting them to stand for what is true. Righteousness does exalt a nation. It builds it up. It protects it. It provides peace. And it gives a nation respect from other countries. Even though they may not believe what we believe, I want to tell you something. A righteous nation is something that every nation respects. And that's what our nation needs more of. Because we've lost a lot of it. In Isaiah 60 and 12 it says, the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. You know, the United States of America has been around longer than any nation under the sun. 230 years we have been here. And I believe, and you'll never convince me otherwise, that the reason our nation has been here as long as it has is because it has been a nation, for the most part, that has honored God.
That's right.
In every document you read, every legal thing that you go and you read about, it says, in God we pray, in God we pray. And you put your hand on the Bible, you raise your hand, and you swear. This is the principles that our country was founded upon. And I believe that's why we've been around for 230 years. Now you look around and you see other nations. And you see some of the atrocities that are going on. I know in China you're allowed only so many children. It may be one. And I know they pray to have a male. Because anything above that, the country demands, the government demands for those children to be aborted. You look at the Muslims and their faith. Women are treated like dogs. I was so surprised to see so many of the women in our country support people who support that kind of lifestyle, not knowing that the greatest treatment any female could have would be that of a Christian, of Christian men who love their wives. And that's one of the greatest prayers that we, as God's men, could say is, Lord, help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I pray that prayer all the time. Because I know that there are times I'm not the husband I need to be. And I'm praying that God to help me to be that kind of a husband.
Yes.
But this is what Christians do. And it is honorable to any person. In Proverbs 29 and 2 it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Yeah, that's right.
But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe there's many people that have supported ungodly leaders that don't recognize that if those leaders had supreme authority, that they would not be quite as happy as they think they would be in the midst of that kind of rulership. I'm thankful for our country, and I'm thankful that I have seen this happen. And you think about the things that have happened in our nation over the last probably 50, 60 years. We've legalized abortion. We've taken prayer out of our school. We've removed God and God We Trust from our Cohens, or about to, or trying to. We've taken Under God out of our Pledge of Allegiance. We've authorized the teaching of evolution in the classrooms. We've removed the Ten Commandments from all public places and promoted the passing out of birth control pills in public places. It was never designed to do so. And they've been trying to pass a law, and it may have already been done so, that pastors can't speak on behalf of any political thing or we would be put in prison. Now, my friends, they don't have those kind of rules for everybody else. They can all speak on what they want to speak on. They can support any political platform they want to speak on, but they're trying to say if you're a church, you cannot have anything to do with politics. Now, as I said, I'm not saying that we put the Republican or the Democratic banner over our church, that we go out and pass out things. You don't have to do that. But you can vote, and you can say what you believe God's Word says and support people that support the things that we as God people believe in. I believe life begins at conception.
Amen.
When about 25 years ago, I helped to start a Right to Life thing in Hot Spring County. We met at the fairgrounds, and they gave us a lot of information to pass out. It was in the very beginning of what you might say began the vocal war against abortion. I had people come through the county fair, that table, that I had known all my life. I went to high school with them. They picked up one of those things, and they looked at me, and they set it down, didn't say a word to me, and walked off. It was like they were ashamed that I would bring something like that up at a county fair. But when our chapter, that's the word I was looking for, our chapter there, they sent us some tapes. Have you ever seen a tape on an abortion? Have you ever seen the doctor take the little fetus and cut his head off, whether it's from 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? It's an atrocity. It's murder. They never show that on television. They don't speak about it. Several years ago, I called the Arkansas Democrat, and I was going to put an ad in the Democrat. It wasn't about abortion. And the first thing the lady said to me was, well, we don't know what you have, but if it's about abortion, we won't publish it. That's a closed subject. We've heard enough about that. I thought to myself, you're publishing all this other ungodly stuff, but you've heard enough about this? You know, as God's people, if there's any one thing on the ballot that we ought to stand for, that we ought to be against, it's abortion because it's murder.
Right.
Now, you may say Brother Sonny's passionate about that, but I'm passionate for what's right and wrong.
Amen.
We look at the things that go on in our country today and we wonder how civilized people could be so horribly cruel to their own kind. Amen. It is a sad thing to see in our country. You know, that was one of the problems when Jesus was on this earth, is that he stood for righteousness.
That's right.
If there's any reason that anybody hated Jesus, it was because he was good. He was good. If you're good and you want to be good, you're going to be hated by a lot of people. But Jesus Christ made a claim, and he said he was God. And the Caesars didn't like it. And he was crucified for it. We believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We believe that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this was the Father's will, that of all that was given to him, he would raise them up the last day and lose nothing.
Amen.
I believe that as one of God's children. I believe that there were those that were given to the Son in the covenant of grace before the world was ever spoken into existence. Those are the very ones that Jesus Christ died for. Those are the very ones that the Holy Spirit will regenerate. And when Jesus Christ comes back, those will be the very ones that he calls from the grave. And he takes home to be with him in glory. None are going to be left out. None are going to be left behind.
Amen.
None are going to be forgotten. And none are going to be plucked from his hand or his Father's hand. I rejoice in that. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, while we're here, I want to honor God in everything that we can possibly do as his children. You see the persecution that went on in the early church. But my friends, people were not persecuted in the early church because they were hiding over in their church building and not voicing their opinion out in public.
No,
my friends, you don't get to the place that you're persecuted because you're quiet.
That's right.
They were persecuted because they were vocal. And I noticed in this election that they came out and said that there were a lot of people that didn't want to say who they were going to vote for. Now, what does that tell you? That tells me that already we are being persecuted. Some people are actually afraid to voice their opinion in public, to say they're going to vote for a person because they're going to get beat up or persecuted or have their house burned down. I believe it's already started. And in that day, there were those men and women that were willing to give their life, their substance, their homes, whatever was taken from them to be salt and light in a very dark and unfriendly world. You look over at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and I want you to look at this in a different light. The very last part of this chapter, in verse 36, And we read about those that had these great triumphs of faith. God did great things for them. We read about the how they championed victories for God's people. But you come to the last part of Hebrews, you learn a little something about faith that you may not have recognized. You know, we think of faith as something that always wins. But faith always wins, but not in the eyes of the world. A victory of faith may be a loss to the world. And forever it may be a loss to the world. But in God's eyes, it may be the greatest victory. We read of those people in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, others had a trial of cruel mockings. They were called a basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
You know,
and
the Christians can't say anything against anybody else, you know, but the ones, you know, we're not very tolerable, you know. But they had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. My friends, that's the greatest accolade in the Bible concerning people. We're sinners. There are none worthy, no, not one. All of our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags when we offer them to God to pay for our sins. But you want to know something good God said about some people? The world was not worthy of those people. These people were unknown to the world. They weren't involved in great church buildings. They weren't big evangelists. They didn't have a big website. They weren't passing out tracts and information. But they were living a life that God loved, that gave Him honor. And what did they get for it? They were sawn in half. And they were put to death. You see, in our mind, we've got an idea of what Christianity ought to be. But God's people many times have stood for what was right, been put to death, and they were nobodies and nothings. But to God, the world was not worthy of those people.
Amen.
Now that may be what happens to us one day.
But
they didn't get to that place by being silent, quiet, and just sitting around and not voicing their opinion. My friends, I've heard it said that among our relatives and among our friends, we should never talk about politics and religion. I'm telling you, if there's two things you ought to be talking about, it's politics and religion.
Amen.
You know, an evangelist talks about politics. And God's people, salt and light, are going to talk about, an evangelist talks about religion. Got that backwards. And, but anyway, we ought to voice how we feel as God's people. There's other things that really bother me about all of this. Have you seen the flag burned? How does that affect you as one of God's people and a member of this country? It makes me so mad. I could lose my religion if I could get my hands around the necks of those that are doing it. My dad flew a B-17 in World War II. He got the Distinguished Flying Cross. He flew over 35 missions, some of them over Berlin. I've always thanked God that my dad was preserved, that God spared his life, and that he would come home and I would be born. I'm so proud of him. I love him so much. But I'm not just elevating him tonight. I'm talking about a lot of men and women that served our country, that gave their lives and suffered so that you and I can enjoy the freedom and the privileges that we enjoy. And then we see some of these whiny little kids over there burning a flag. They don't even recognize that it is the flag that protects them and allows them to burn it. That gives them the freedom and the privilege to go to some of these universities that stand against the principles that we stand for. I thought about one of the Proverbs when I see these young people burning these flags. And by the way, this is biblical too. There is a generation, Proverbs 30:13. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. They're so full of pride.
That's right.
They're full of themselves. Our forefathers, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, those people built this nation. They've built nothing. They're tearing it down.
Yeah.
I'm proud of the country in which I live in. I'm thankful for the principles in which this country was founded upon. Have you ever read the full version of the Star-Spangled Banner? I remember as a child in grade school, I'd put my hand over my heart and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I can remember having a little tear in my eye when I'd do that. I was so thankful of the blessings I enjoyed. And when somebody would sing the Star Spangled Banner, even now, if it's at a football game or whatever, I just well up. I just am so thankful that we can stand there and sing that song. How beautiful that song is. And I've got the words here. I'm going to read it to you. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free, the home of the brave? On the shore dimly seen through the midst of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that which breathes o'er the towering steep as it fitfully blows, half concealed, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam in full glory reflected, now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner. Oh, long may it wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God we trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. When we sang that song in grade school and I hear it sang, I can just see my dad and many, many other soldiers in some foreign land on some dark, forbidden night, maybe in some foxhole somewhere. And there's that flag standing. And a bomb goes off and they look up and they still see Old Glory up there. And they remember why they're there. They're there fighting for freedom, fighting for their families back home, the people they love, and to worship God in a way that is honorable. That's what our country came from, people who came here because they wanted to worship God in a way that He has told us to do so. There's nothing wrong with that. I've always valued the right as to be an American citizen and to have the right to bear arms. I know that's really not in the Bible, you know, but Peter had a sword and he tried to cut the head off of the I may be stretching this a little bit, but anyway, he was going to cut the head off of the centurion's servant, and we know as God's people that that wasn't going to advance the kingdom because God told him to put it up. But he did have it to protect his family.
That's right.
You know, that's something that a right that we have been given as God's people. Well, I will give you one more scripture. And you've probably thought of it many times in the past years. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Amen.
Now that's talking about a country.
Yep.
But you know what strikes me about that text is my people will humble themselves. We usually think that God humbles us, and He does. But did you know that there's humility that we can place upon ourselves?
Yeah.
We can humble our own selves from our pride, proudness and haughtiness in our own personal lives. And many times I've seen myself in pride and realize that I needed to be more humble on certain occasions. This is something that we as God's people should be praying for. There are a lot of wicked ways out there that are going on, like abortion in our country. We need to be praying that God will open up the eyes of His people and see what wickedness really is. You know, there's a place we read in the scriptures about Nineveh. Nineveh didn't know their right hand from their left. Can you imagine what it must have been like on the interstate? But what that really means is they didn't have a moral code. They did not know right from wrong. And we got a lot of God's people in America today that are Ninevite Christians. Or Nineveh Christians. Nineveh. They don't know right from wrong. They ain't gone to church. They've not been taught. We need to pray that God will open their eyes. I don't know about you, but until they take my Bible from my dead fingers, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to preach it.
Yes.
I'm going to defend it and pray for our nation.
Amen.
To do the same.
Amen.
I thank you so much for coming tonight and being here. It's been such a blessing to see each one of you. I pray the Lord will continue to bless us in this meeting. Brother Tim Montgomery has promised to preach for us next second Sunday night. Looking forward to hearing him. And I'll be calling upon each one of you ministers to share in this. I thank you for your prayers, your support, and being here tonight.